With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Oh, doctor, are they ever fit to be tied? Democrats and Republicrats like Mitch McConnell, North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer, South Dakota Senator Jim Rounds, Lindsey Graham, and others are outraged, livid, fit to be tied, that Tucker Carlson committed journalism last night. You see, the way the deep state works is that they get to control all the media, which means they get to control all the narratives, what you see, and most importantly, what you don't see. They get to tell their side of the story. And no other version of the truth is ever tolerated. They went so far as to hire a Hollywood producer to craft their videos. They dubbed in crowd sounds to silent camera footage to make them more emotionally compelling. If you ever want to begin to understand why movies move you, take a course in movie making or just watch some videos on YouTube. Especially watch how they use soundtracks. Foley artists, the sound effects editors, are among the most important, but so are the composers that score a movie. Imagine if you just watched a group of young men running in the surf. It's kind of boring. But if you put a Vangelis theme song underneath it, it's emotionally compelling. Likewise, music for The Godfather or for any movie, really. And if you watch them build up the layers, okay, so you've just got the image. If you watch it silent, okay, you get some information from that. And then if you have dialogue and then sound effects, and then you put the soundtrack underneath it, now that's an emotional moment. That's something. It's not just narrative, it's compelling narrative. And that's what the FedSurrection January 6th committee did. They hired a Hollywood producer to dub in crowd noise, sound effects. It was choreographed, it was all orchestrated to elicit an emotional response. So they showed you only the most unsettling images. What they didn't tell you is that the tear gas came from the cops, not from the protesters. What they didn't tell you is that there were probably at least dozens, but probably hundreds of feds amongst the protesters. What they didn't tell you was that everything you were told was a lie. Brian Sicknick wasn't bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher by out-of-control protesters. No, he had a cardiac incident, but because he was a Trump supporter, his brother officers refused to get him medical attention. And he died of a heart attack later that night. His family was lied to. They're rightly furious. There's going to be a lawsuit there for certain. Ashley Babbitt was unarmed and she was about 5 foot, 5 foot two. She was a very slight woman, served her country proudly and ably. Had the great pleasure to meet her mother in Pennsylvania last year. Everything we've been told about Ashley Babbitt was a lie. We knew that right from January 7th, 2021. We knew that. Michael Byrd belongs behind bars. Nancy Pelosi, Liz Cheney, Benny Johnson, Adam Schiff particularly, They all belong behind bars. They are the ones that came close to insurrection. They are the ones that peddled lies to the American people for 2 years. But believe it or not, lying in Congress is not a crime. If you lie to Congress, that's a crime. Unless, of course, you're a Democrat, and then they don't do anything about that. But if you lie to Congress, you can get thrown in jail. But if Congress lies to us, that's just par for the course. Another day in D.C. What's new isn't that there's a corrupt, fetid swamp in D.C. It's been corrupt since it was carved out of a fetid swamp. What's new is that for the first time in American history, all three branches of government, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branch, have all been weaponized against we the people. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio? Do you think we're doing a good job? Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or a comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
News you can count on.
They break down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Ohio biotech billionaire Vivek Ramaswamy, a leading anti-woke crusader in the culture wars, who just recently launched his Republican presidential campaign, claims that someone offered to boost his CPAC straw poll standing for a fee. Here with the full story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Timothy. This dude's kind of making a splash. I don't know what you think about him. Maybe we'll get that towards the end here. But he's insisting something shady's going on here. He's not the only one. Yesterday, I was reporting on some interesting stuff that supposedly took place with Carrie Lake. Very interesting stuff there. But here we go. As reported by Fox News, Ramaswamy finished at 1% support in the 2024 Republican nomination straw poll that was conducted at the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference this weekend. However, Ramaswamy, the, as you put it, the biopharma multimillionaire entrepreneur, best-selling author and conservative commentator who is a leading crusader in the culture wars, alleges that a political consultant with ties to CPAC offered his campaign the ability to get tickets to the conference and bring in a bunch of supporters who could vote in the straw poll for a fee that would be upwards of $100,000. Speaking to Fox Business host Stuart Varney on Monday, Ramaswamy said, quote, "There's also a funny little secret I learned. I'm new to this as an outsider. One of the things you see as an outsider is how corrupt the system is. You know something funny about this? I've attended CPAC before. I didn't know it works this way. A consultant calls my campaign shortly after I declare and says, hey, we can get you up to number two on there if you pay a few hundred thousand dollars. I was shocked. You know, there's a lot of people who are making money not only off of me, but off of every presidential campaign," end quote. When asked if he considered paying the fee, Ramaswamy quickly answered, "Absolutely not. That is fake." Since they declined the offer, Ramaswamy's campaign did not provide more details about the potential deal, and the name of the consultant was shared on the condition that the person's identity not be revealed. However, Politico, which first reported the story, and Fox News have both confirmed that the person who Ramaswamy's campaign says made the offer does indeed have ties to CPAC. Interesting. Quote, "Washington, D.C. is riddled with unscrupulous consultants who make false claims, including this one. CPAC attendance was so strong that we had to close ticket sales on Friday due to concerns over capacity," a CPAC spokesperson told Fox News. Quote, "And anybody with a rudimentary understanding of politics knows how a straw poll works. It takes organization and or popularity for a candidate to do well. One thing is enduringly true about presidential politics. It takes both to get to the Oval Office, end quote. CPAC, of course, is the oldest and largest annual gathering of conservative leaders and activists, and its Republican presidential straw poll has long been considered a barometer of sentiment in the GOP's right flank. The conference has been largely favorable to former President Donald Trump since the 2016 election. It was not a surprise that the former president, who launched his third White House bid in November, once again dominated the straw poll with 62% support, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis a distant second at 20%, with everyone else in the low single digits. Presidential campaigns have long coordinated to bring in their supporters to attend CPAC in order to boost their standing in the straw poll and loudly applaud their candidate during their speech on the stage. However, Ramaswamy, a first-time candidate who is running as an outsider looking to shake up the system, said he is speaking out to expose what he argues are somewhat dirty behind-the-scenes deal-making that is part of the political game. In a statement to Fox News, Ramaswamy says, quote, "We've decided to go full transparency on exposing the quasi-corrupt process of the campaign itself," end quote. During his speech at CPAC on Friday, Ramaswamy reiterated his calls for a national revival for disbanding the FBI and the Department of Education, and again vowed to end federally mandated affirmative action. On Saturday, he said to Fox News Digital, quote, "I think the crowd wasn't exactly sure what to make of me because I'm a compelling candidate to Trump. The fact that we got five standing ovations in the middle of my speech, I didn't even get to finish everything I had to say because the amount of applause I got," end quote. So, Timothy, what's more important, the amount of applause you get during CPAC or the platform and your experience?
Well, first of all, I haven't spoken to Vivek yet. A friend of mine knows him, and I tried to get some information before air today and was unable to. We hope to have that later this week or early next week. I will tell you that there's a dirty underbelly, not only to CPAC, but also to the Republican Party, as President Trump learned in 2017 when he took the oath of office. I was just looking back over bills that had been introduced in that Congress, bills to do away with the Department of Education, bills to close the border, bills to do what conservatives claim to want done. And yet, Adam, none of those bills made it through Paul Ryan's house. Paul Ryan was no conservative, and he was no friend of President Trump. He was no friend of the American people. And Fox News has lost a lot of viewers primarily because of Sean Hannity and his clickbait neuro-linguistic programming techniques. He did last night. A friend of mine called me last night and said, he did it again. I got sucked in. Hannity said he was interviewing President Trump, and all he did is play 30 seconds of the radio interview, the telephone call interview that he had on his radio show yesterday. It was Hannity clickbait. And Hannity does that all the time. He also uses neuro-linguistic programming techniques. That's the constant repetition, the interrupting, et cetera. Everybody's seen it. They might not know that it's related to NLP, but that's what he's doing. He's trying to maintain engagement by using neuro-linguistic programming techniques. A lot of people, I turned Hannity off in July of 17 for that reason. A lot of people watch Tucker and then change the channel. It used to be that you'd watch O'Reilly and then you'd go right through the night. Not anymore. The numbers for Fox, although they're huge for Tucker, aren't as big for the other host. And as a network, it's down. The numbers for CPAC, it's interesting to hear that they had to close off sales because they were worried about capacity. I had a friend who was at CPAC tell me attendance was down 60%. And it leads me to wonder whether they had the same space reserved at National Harbor, because if they had the amount of space that they had before COVID, and before they had to move down to Orlando, then it doesn't reconcile that they had to close off ticket sales and yet ticket sales were down 60%. So I'm guessing that the folks at CPAC weren't lying, that they did have to close off ticket sales, but that they had a much smaller number of square feet to fill. And that's why the capacity was lower, because I heard from somebody very reliable that attendance was down 60%. I think Vivek is somebody to watch. I think he's going to move the needle of the conversation. I don't think he has any chance of being elected president this cycle, but I don't know that that's his goal. Again, I haven't spoken to him directly yet, but I would imagine that he wants to impact the conversation, become a known quantity to Americans, and potentially seek higher office down the road.
His biggest selling point, Timothy, he's only 37 years old. Compare that to the sitting one right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, Donald Trump, look at his two-hour speech. Strong, confident, uplifting, passionate, fiery on Saturday night. And contrast that with Joe Biden saying, yeah, the doctors had to, well, they took the top of my head off anyway. And anyway, I had to take top of my head off to see if I had a brain, you know. So age isn't really the relevant metric necessarily, but I think following a pissed off Donald Trump, who takes a wrecking ball to D.C. for 4 years, following him up with a Vivek Ramaswamy who wants to fundamentally transform the federal government back into something constitutional. Yeah, that might be a winning 1-2 combo, Adam. Thanks for a great story. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Bruce DeTorres is talking about on World Stage.
America is suffering from so many assaults and such long time corruption and dissolution and betrayal and societal challenges. And my reading of history shows the assassination of President John F. Kennedy as being the climactic turning point at the end of Act Two in the story of America, throwing the story to its end, which I contend was the attacks of 9/11 and the imposition of the USA Patriot Act and the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, which in large part eradicated our rights under the Constitution. No longer protected by the Constitution, no longer living under the Constitution, the case is made. We're not America anymore. So the story is over and it needs to be revived, resuscitated, restarted by enough people who know and care to be America and live under the Constitution and force our representatives to work for and to protect us.
World Stage and Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. A cashless society means zero cash. No car boot sales, no markets, no tooth fairy or piggy banks, no saving cash for a rainy day, no buying anything with privacy. Digital currency means every cent you receive will be recorded and every transaction tracked. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
The left is newly drunk with power, having seized corporate America, big media, big pharma, and much of government. They love shutting down debate because they can't handle the truth. More importantly, they don't want you to know the truth so that you will be unable to make an informed decision. It used to be that those on the left would say, I might disagree with what you have to say, but I'll defend with my life your right to say it. Well, those days are long gone. Now they sneer. Well, if you don't like it, build your own. When they launch Operation Choke Point to deny banking and credit card transaction processing services to legal businesses. Well, being the entrepreneurial class, we said, okay. And that's exactly what we're doing. My guest tonight, John Beeman, is one such patriot that saw a need in the marketplace created by the left fascism. He started Merchant Master. Merchant Master is a Patriot credit card processing company. You can find out more at merchantmaster.com. I'd like to welcome John Beeman.
Thank you so much for having me, Timothy. It's an honor to be here.
Well, John, I really have been dealing with you over the last couple of weeks to help a company I'm involved with that has been shut down by the financial fascists. And we've had a great experience with you. And I wanted to bring you on to talk about the marketplace, how things used to be. You know, it used to be, I worked for a bank. I was a teller at a bank all through college and through grad school. It was a great job for summers and vacations, and I learned a lot about banking. And John, back in the early to mid 80s, you know what bankers cared about? Making money. That seems to be not their primary focus anymore. What's going on?
The whole concept of making money has changed. Back in the day, making money was kind of like the metric for creating value. It wasn't viewed as this evil component. It was genuinely a measurement of how much value we're creating in the marketplace. It's objective. It's quantifiable. It's a good thing. Today, it is so different. I think one of the best terms to describe it is truly woke. It's unbelievable. When you look at like the top-down regulation, and the additional regulations the government continues to add to the banking industry, banks being massive companies respond to protect themselves and only themselves. And that feeds everything and pushes everything down to the small business, which is statistically the backbone of the American economy, and leaves us in a no-win situation time and time again. It is absolutely unbelievable.
It really is. And a large part of the problem is that, much like a grocery store that will lose money on milk to make it up on packaged goods, cereal and paper towels and shampoo and things like that, these woke businesses, seems they don't care if they actually sell any product or service, because a lot of them are funded with massive amounts of money to push their ESG/DEI woke agenda.
And this goes all the way back to when we took the dollar off the gold standard. One of the worst decisions, in my opinion, we could have ever done. We had a solid monetary system in place. We even had the Federal Reserve at that point in time. The system was working. When we made the dollar a fiat currency, yeah, you could produce as many dollars as you want at any given point in time. But that's really not the whole point of a currency, because now you're playing with valuations. And that's how you start getting into massive problems like we have right now, inflation being one of them. It's, again, unbelievable is a word I'm probably going to overuse today, but it's unbelievable. My wife and I were watching a movie the other day, and it was made in the 80s, and there was like a big deal to have, you know, $20,000, $50,000. Inflation has cast the dollar three times. It's literally worth equivalent to almost $50,000 back in the day. It's almost $140,000 in today's time. That's only 40 years. That's not that long.
Another problem is that in that same time, they've recentered the SAT twice because scores weren't high enough, right? So what was a 1300 when I took it would now be a 1500. They added 100 points to it twice.
Repeatedly.
We don't want to. Yeah, everything is going in opposite directions.
We're trying to solve the symptom without actually solving the problem. And unfortunately, in politics, that's how you get reelected. You give a little bit of sugar. It all sounds and seems real good in the beginning. But once you get down the road, 5, 10, 15, even 20 years, a lot of fundamental things start to change. And that's one of the unfortunate situations I think we're dealing with in our current political system, not to go off on a tangent, but.
Well, it's true, though, and it almost seems as though they saw the movie Idiocracy and are aspiring to that, almost like it's a roadmap for them.
It's very strange. Some of the comments you made previously really hit home when you said gone are the days when you can have like an intellectual debate and it was, hey, you have your right to your opinion. It's logical discussion here. It could not be farther from that environment today. It's he who shouts loudest wins. And what's dangerous is he who gets most violent wins. And that's not a healthy place for an economy to be, more or less a culture.
Exactly. And, you know, Walmart, and I think it was Walmart, is leaving Portland. They're just closing up shop. Other stores are saying bye-bye to the cities. I love New York City so much that I wanted to retire there. It energizes me. I love Paris. I love Munich. I've loved the cities I've been blessed to visit. And now they're all nightmares. I won't even go to visit, much less live there.
It's tragic. I grew up in Southeast Wisconsin, maybe 30, 45 minutes outside Milwaukee. And back in the heyday, it was a pretty cool place. It was a growing economy.
You had Whitewater, Janesville?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mequon, West Bend, small town USA.
Okay, yeah. I love it. It's a great part of America.
It really is. The people are outstanding. The food is amazing. But to your exact point,
except for the Lutka fish.
barring that. and the extensive winters and all that stuff, the constant snow plowing, all that. But in all seriousness, it was actually a legit state. It had a legit economy. It was doing well. Fast forward into the future, we're going way back in history now, but fast forward some years, they start adopting some of these leftist policies, and it's tanking the state needlessly. I mean, they have
Alexis de Tocqueville said that a democracy can survive until the majority realizes they can vote itself a share of the public treasure. And that's, I think, exactly what happened. I want to pick it up there after the break. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
What do they want? Exciting news.
Brace yourself.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. North Korea on Tuesday warned the United States and South Korea that any attempt to intercept its test of strategic weapon would be considered a declaration of war against the reclusive nation. A wealthy Nigerian senator on trial for organ harvesting has denied he ever promised money or material advantage to a young Lagos street trader who was allegedly brought to London to donate a kidney for his seriously ill daughter.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
John, you mentioned going off the gold standard, and I would favor looking at that. If some people are worried about the volatility of gold, so it's like, okay, fine. Well, let's tie the dollar to a basket of commodities. We could do that, right? But I think something needs to be done. A currency is a medium of exchange, a liquid medium of exchange that's generally agreed upon as representing value. So it doesn't matter if it's paper clips, right? You could have little paper clips be a dollar, and big paper clips be $5, and a small binder clip being $10, and a medium binder clip $20, and a large binder clip being $100, worth $100. It doesn't matter what the physical item is. If it's generally agreed upon as representing value, that can be a currency. What concerns me greatly, beyond the fact that we have what is, in my view, an unconstitutional fiat currency, this central bank digital currency plan they're talking about seems to combine the worst elements of every dystopian novel ever written all into one initiative.
It's my exact fear as well. The technology behind some of these cryptocurrencies and blockchain is really, really cool and makes sense for private usage, for internal business usage, things like that. It makes all the sense in the world in some cases. If you're rolling it out to a governmental level, in my opinion, that's outright dangerous. I mean, I think we're talking something to the extent of combining legislative, judicial, and executive branches of government into one controlling factor. And that's the one that hits home for literally everyone in the US, and that's going to be the bank account. If the government has access and control to bank accounts over the currency in your bank account, that was not the type of principle this nation was founded upon. We're dealing, to your point, in my opinion, we're dealing with something that is way outside the realm of government.
And what we're going to do is we're going to get back to the situation it was 100, 150 years ago. Doctors were going to come and they'll treat you if you're sick, or, you know, take out a bullet, or, you know, extract a tooth or whatever in exchange for a chicken, or, you know, a side of ham, or whatever. I think we're going to get back into barter exchange. And I think you're going to see an explosion of crime through the black market. Right now in cities. Do you know what the medium of exchange is now in cities? Whisk. The big jugs of Whisk laundry detergent. People will buy them with their EBT card, and they'll trade them for booze, cigarettes, drugs, whatever. Because then whoever receives it can take it back to the store and get a refund. So they're using jugs of Whisk as an unlawful currency to basically translate EBT dollars into actual currency.
It's so sad. It's not the way an economy is meant to run. I like to think of an economy with the end goal of striving to grow, increase, and improve the standard of living. I think that's a genuinely agreeable standard for an economy. If we're seeing the standard of living grow and increase, that's fantastic. It needs to be bound by constitutional protections, because I believe that needs to come first. As you work back from those two goals, none of these policies are going to be helping with that. You might be able to reach that dreaded, quote, utopian state where it's free healthcare, free minimum this, free, you know, go through the whole litany of things, but then it ends up like a prison. We've seen over the course of history how it works. It's outright dangerous from a personal freedom perspective. From an economic perspective, it never works in the long haul. It's called communism. It's been implemented before on national scales and regional scales. Never once has it achieved its end goal, so stated end goal. They've stated to have this evenly placed society, and we all know what happened with the Soviet Union. We all know what happened with North Korea. We all know what happened with Venezuela. We can go all the way down the list. It doesn't work. And if we fully adopt this digital federal currency, I think that takes us one massive step closer to that end stage.
Well, I think it does. And I don't think that their stated goals are their actual goals, right? What we're seeing now, and I've said this for years, what we're seeing now from the Democrat Party and the complicit never Trumper rhino, you know, people call them rhinos. I don't think they're Republicans in name only. I think they're actual honest to goodness Republicans. Republicans have never been conservatives. It's just the only place where conservatives can be tolerated. Now, what we're seeing is the bloodless version of Mao's Great Leap Forward, his Cultural Revolution from 1966 to 1976 that shepherded everyone into cities, murdered the intelligentsia. It was very bloody. Well, they didn't have to murder the intelligentsia. They just co-opted it. Higher education now is being run by lunatics, communists, and freaks. They're not educating students. They're indoctrinating them with the most outlandish theories. Critical theory is a cancer on the body politic. And shepherding people off of farms. Bill Gates is buying up farmland. China's buying up farmland. People are being herded into cities. They're trying to make it illegal to sell food if you're a farmer, to sell food to your neighbors. You got to do it through the processing plants that keep mysteriously catching on fire or having small aircraft crash into them. Every single story in and of itself doesn't tell the story. But pretty soon, when you've got enough puzzle pieces on the table and you're able to put them together, a picture is definitely forming.
100%. And I think when we start getting into the political realm, I like to describe it as a game. You have your shareholders, for lack of a better term. If you follow what increases their money and what increases their power, that in general is going to be their end destination where they're heading. If you look at it from that perspective, what increases their monetary stockpile or what increases their political power, you're probably going to find, I would argue, 90% of politicians heading in that direction. I think there are a few in office who are generally doing the right thing and trying to do the right thing, fighting the good fight. My concern is that the vast majority have kind of fallen into that trap.
Well, they really have. And just look at the outrage today that Tucker Carlson committed journalism last night and threatens to commit journalism again tonight by exposing the truth revealed by the January 6th tapes. You had Mike Rounds from South Dakota. You had Kevin Cramer from North Dakota. You had Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. You had Mitch McConnell from Tennessee. You had Mitt Romney from Utah. Okay, that's fully 10% of the Republican contingent in the Senate that came out today, and they're livid. They're absolutely outraged that plebs like us can see the footage that they didn't want us to see.
How dare we, the people, have access to free and public information? How dare we, the people, the shareholders of our country, of our government, the bosses, because let's remember that we, the people, are the boss, have access to such information. I mean, the fact that we have statements, like you're saying, from senators, from congressmen, it's appalling. It's not like we're talking nuclear codes here, something that needs to remain extremely confidential for national security right. reasons. This is imperative knowledge of the American people to develop a truly logical opinion on something that is extremely important and very divisive.
Meanwhile, you've got people like Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin, both of whom I think would melt down like Margaret Hamilton when the bucket of water was splashed on her in The Wizard of Oz. I think they'd physically melt down if something that wasn't a lie ever passed their lips. And yet they expect us to be gaslit by their lies. And if we're not, they get outraged. That's the source of their outrage, is that we're on to them and we won't believe their BS. Want to pick this up after the break. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Oh, no. They're really saying this. Climate change blamed for 8,000 gun deaths? Saddle up. This is going to be a doozy.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
A new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, one of the top medical and science journals in the world, claims an association between temperature and shootings. The study claims, quote, an increase in warmer temperatures due to climate change may create environments with higher risk of firearm violence in the future, noting that firearm shootings tend to be higher in the summer. The study is premised on the idea that there's more crime in warm weather than cold weather. So now, if your government declares a national climate emergency, they'll be able to seize guns and issue gun control in order to save you from the theoretical climate-induced gun violence ahead. So now, if you don't support the Green New Deal or UN Climate Pact, you are a gun-toting murderer? Oh boy. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
So, John, what led you to start Merchant Master? What were you doing? What were the tea leaves that you correctly read that prompted you to think that the world needed another credit card processor?
So I was actually working as an analyst for a private equity company, and it was an entrepreneurial venture that runs in my genes. It runs in my blood. My dad's an entrepreneur at heart. And unfortunately, the industry is renowned for being a bunch of snake oil salesmen. It's very, our part is very unregulated. The selling part, the brokerage part, when you get to the underwriting part, that becomes much more regulated. What we saw a lack of was true, honest integrity in the business. There are a number of ways, for lack of a better term, to screw merchants left and right. You can stack things against them so easily before they even get started. And by the time they're up and running, they have no idea what happened. And that's not just talking price. It's setup, it's contracts, it's technological integrations, API integrations. We wanted to go in very much as a consultant and say, hey, we want to act as your fiduciary. We want to help you get to where you want to go, even if it's not through us directly. We want to help you get set up with a system that's going to work for you. And so building on that, starting off with literally small town USA community marketing, we were able to get momentum. One thing led to another. Now we expanded in DFW, Chicago, our main markets right now. And we've been very blessed, but that's really what drove it. There was a lack of integrity in the industry.
Well, we've been very pleased with what you've done for us, and I'm going to be recommending you to a lot of people. Hopefully your business will keep growing, because it's heartening to see someone doing business the way I always just took for granted the way business should be done. You provide a good or service to meet a need that exists in the marketplace, or use advertising to create a need. You're a disruptor, and you come up with something new, and you get people to realize they have this need that they didn't know that they had, and you create value, and you succeed. That it's, growing up, I mean, that's just what business is, right? Not anymore. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like I got a taste of the American dream before it becomes too regulated. Back in the day, you could literally have someone walk up from nothing and build an empire, and it was incredible. Today, the odds are so stacked against you, not just odds, regulations, everything. It is unbelievable what entrepreneurs have to go through just to get a business off the ground. Once you get it off the ground, it's like you get a target on the back of your head. It is unfreaking believable.
I give a speech, and even in private conversations, I'll tell young people, you're not as free as you think you are. And they'll respond, what are you talking about? We're more free than we've ever been. I have more information here in my hand, holding up their smartphone, than entire libraries of paper books, and I can access it easily and anytime and anywhere. And I said, yeah, but you've also got dopamine delivery devices on there, right? Facebook, Twitter, all the social media. I said, you're carrying around a tracking device. Not only can the government pinpoint with exactitude where you are, but they can tell whether your phone is being held vertically or horizontally. They're like, that's not true. I said, yes, it is. And I say, you think you're free? Try riding in the back of a pickup truck. Try putting a gun rack in the back window of your pickup truck and see what happens. Then you tell me how free you are.
It's frightening. You bring up a really, really good point. When you look at where we are today versus where we were 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, the freedoms have massively changed. I think there was definitely a difference with 9/11. That was one of those big check marks. But as the pendulum swung, it didn't stop. It kept going and going and going, and it became much more of a central government issue, which is not the way our government was set up in that regard.
Well, 9/11 was used as a pretext to put into law the Patriot Act, which had been written before 9/11. Now, I'm not saying that 9/11 was a put-up job, because I know there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there, and I debunk them every chance I get, but it's undeniable. The timeline, the Patriot Act, all this legislation, they don't come up with these 4,000-page bills overnight. These things have been crafted over decades, and they're literally on the shelf, ready to go. Rahm Emanuel said it. He said the quiet part out loud, never let a crisis go to waste. And what he meant by that was that if you've got a crisis, that's your opportunity. When people are reacting emotionally rather than logically, that's your opportunity to advance your agenda, which otherwise you could never advance.
They're not stupid. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions that the American people have. We'll look at politicians, we'll see them make a remark, and we go, oh, the guy's a total idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. Some of them might be, but I would beg to differ. And I would point out what you just said, Timothy. It's not that they're stupid. They're fighting for something totally different, A, than what they tell us during the campaign, and B, they're not pushing for the betterment of the United States as a whole, or even more accurately, of their specific districts. They're pushing some other agenda that will increase their money, their power, one or both of those two things. I guarantee it every single time.
Well, my equation. I don't think you've heard it. I say it on the show quite often. My equation is power plus profit equals control. And that's what they're doing. Okay, they're increasing their power, they're increasing their profits just in order to exert more control. My sister came to me a couple years into the Obama administration, the first term, and she had voted for him because she was voting emotionally rather than logically, and you know, thought it would be great for America to have a black president. Like, well, why didn't you vote for Alan Keyes when I voted for Alan Keyes then? And you know, back in the 90s, I'm not against Obama because he's black. I'm against him because he's a communist put up. He's a Manchurian candidate. He's a front. And of course, history is going to record that. So she came to me 2 years in. She said, how did you know? And I said, I took him at his word. What did you think fundamental transformation meant? It's like Muslims when they say, I wish the best for you, my friend. They're not saying they want us to, you know, meet Jesus and go to heaven. They're saying they want us to become Muslims. That, in their mind, is what is best for us. I wish you only the only good things. Well, yeah, you know, words matter. And you need to know what the intention of the person using the words are. You can't just look at the words. It's what's the motivation behind that? It was very clear what fundamental transformation meant. This is clearly Obama 3.0. I mean, look at the jamokes they put up. I call it the intersectionality administration, okay? Not one single major person in the entire administration has been hired for their competence, experience, or expertise. Kamala Harris is because she's a black woman, even though she isn't. She's mostly Indian, okay? But it didn't matter. She's got a nice tan. So she's going to check the two boxes, female, minority. You have an FAA administrator that was nominated solely because he's black. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him watching the Senate here, his confirmation hearing. The man couldn't answer a single question about aviation policy. Not one. He's clueless. He knows as much about aviation policy as I do. And I don't know anything other than the fact that I helped write a proposal for Xerox to sell them computers back in 1989. That's a true story. We had to deliver the proposal. You had to give 5 copies of it, and each proposal was 10 banker boxes full. So we had 50 banker boxes was our 5 copies of the proposal. And we literally were printing it off like right up until 6:30 in the morning. And it had to be submitted, you know, by, I think, 10 o'clock in the morning. And we just got it there in time. But I don't know anything about FAA policy. But you see, John, I'm not eligible to be FAA administrator because I'm a white Christian heterosexual male. Okay, you've got a spokes idiot who's hired simply because she's a black lesbian. You've got, you know, you can go on and on and on and on and on. A transportation secretary that was nominated solely based on who he likes to have sex with. He knows literally nothing about transportation. Our transportation infrastructure has fallen to pieces. We've had numerous deadly accidents, all under his watch, all directly his responsibility. And yet, there are never any consequences for these people.
None whatsoever. And that's a very, very tragic part. Again, part of the degradation of our government as time progressed. I believe it was James Madison that said, you know, when we get to a two-party political system, we're screwed, basically. Unfortunately, we've been there for quite a while. And I think we're seeing some of the consequences of that today. But when you take a look at bureaucracy in general, that doesn't mesh with the intent of the U.S. Constitution whatsoever. It's like totally polar opposite, but those seeking power and money knew from the beginning they could not do it with a decentralized government, with a minimalistic government. They had to continually expand it into one specific area, had to be a national government, national platform. If they didn't have that, they couldn't achieve their goal. So it was step by step by step by step. And if you look at where we are today compared to when we were founded, it's like you're looking at two vastly different governments.
You know, I heard someone recently say that they were like midgets standing atop the shoulders of giants. And really, that's what it was. If you go back and look at our founders, and you look at Americans in general, right? Okay, yes, we put man on the moon. We've invented the internet. We've had all these great technological advances. But in terms of philosophy, in terms of understanding, right? Being able to do something, figuring out how to do something, right? Figuring out how to split the atom and turn it into a thermonuclear device is one form of intelligence. But I would argue that a more important form of intelligence is knowing whether you should. And we've lost that second part, right? And the founders had that in spades, and they understood human nature in a way that no one today does. Washington warned us of factionalism, which what he meant was political parties. He saw it coming and he warned us, and we ignored him. All the founders, they designed this government with separation of powers and a system of checks and balances because they knew that Lord Acton was right, even before Lord Acton said it. Of course, what he said was power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They understood our humanity and wanted to protect ourselves from ourselves because we wanted him to be king. He's like, what are you people talking about? We just fought a war to not have a king. I don't want to be your king. We don't want a king. And they designed a government so that we wouldn't have a king. And yet here we are.
It's tragic when you look back and think people paid the ultimate sacrifices. Some families have a history of doing that, which is absolutely insane when you think about it in a good way. It's my grandfather served in the Navy in World War II. My other grandfather served in the Air Force during the Korean War. Thankfully, both of them made it home. But there are people who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be free, so that we could be self-governed. Modern day America is quickly giving it away. And it is, it's very, very unfortunate. I mean, we've been called the great experiment. It was working just fine. Going back to your point about the Constitution and the brilliance, I do believe there was divine intervention. When you look at the way, the intricacies between the different levels of government, between the different sections of government, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and states' rights, and then local governments, everything meshed so perfectly. I don't believe you'll see another document like that in the history of mankind. I mean, it was absolutely...
Well, no, and no constitution written since has ever functioned the way it was designed to function. In fact, but this is why the progressives, and they play the long game, okay? That's where they've got us. They play a century-long game, whereas we're more worried about keeping our head down, getting our paycheck, putting a roof over our family's heads, putting food on the table, and going away for a couple weeks in the summer. And they're looking decades and centuries ahead. My three political wishes, John: repeal 16A, get rid of the income tax because that has fed Leviathan. Repeal 17A, give our states back their voice in the federal government that the founders gave them. That was a key pillar of our government that was destroyed 100 years ago. And end the Fed. And if we could do those three things, repeal 16A, repeal 17A, and the Fed, and if we could get to an asset-backed currency, I'll call it, because I don't care whether it's gold, silver, platinum, a bucket of bolts or whatever they want, make it an asset-backed currency so it's tied to something tangible and real and has value. I think the future of America is brighter than it's ever been. The question is whether we can get it done. Last word.
Exactly. Exactly. If we revive, if we awaken as a people, we don't give up. We continue to stay at it. We continue to unite and push and push and push. We can get there. Remember, there were only about 3% of the American population that took up arms during the Revolutionary War. And throughout the course of history, 3% is enough to move the needle. Let's make that 3% get moving so we can push America in the right direction.
It really is. And we have something ineffable that the rest of the world doesn't have. My friends that grew up in foreign countries, Brazil, Argentina, Switzerland, the Netherlands, England, and have become American citizens, have done so because of our relentless optimism. We have an optimism that the rest of the world doesn't share, and we can't ever lose that spark. We can't lose entrepreneurs like you. Folks, go to merchantmaster.com to find out more about John's business. John, I can't thank you enough. This has been one of my most enjoyable conversations so far on The Reckoning. You're welcome back anytime. All right, until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.